Like gold in the furnace, he proved them. Gold is a noble metal, and a goldsmith must be skilled in forging, in casting, and in polishing the material he works with. A goldsmith takes the gold and heats it at a hot temperature, about 1600 degrees Fahrenheit, and by doing that, he's able to burn away all impurities and all imperfections in the gold. But this process requires the careful attention of the goldsmith. He has to keep his eyes on the gold at all times, because if the gold is left in the flames too long, it will either turn to liquid or be ruined. God is that divine goldsmith who burns away all our impurities so that we can become perfect. November is the month of All Souls, in which we focus on the Church's teaching on the communion of saints. And there are three levels in the communion of saints: the Church triumphant, which are the saints in heaven; the Church expectant, or the Church suffering, the souls in purgatory; and then we here on earth are the Church militant. Now, earlier today, we celebrated the Feast of All Souls, in which we remember the saints who are surrounding the throne of God, those who are named and unnamed, who are awaiting our arrival in heaven. But this evening, we anticipate tomorrow's Feast of All Souls, in which we remember to pray for our deceased loved ones, and really for all the deceased throughout the world. Now, you're probably thinking, why are the priests and deacon wearing black vestments? Don't they ever get sick of wearing black? They wear black every single day. Black is the color of mourning. It's the color of loss. It's the color of death. But this color is not, I repeat, is not contrary to Christian hope, because our mourning will be turned into joy, our loss will become gain, and our death is really just our birth into eternal life. And besides, there's some gold in the vestment, as you'll notice, symbolizing our hope and joy in the resurrection. But while we are a people of hope, we're also aware of the truth of sin, of death, and of judgment, because all of us will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will receive our reward, either good or evil, depending on how we lived our lives here on earth. After death, those in perfect friendship with God will enter heaven. Those who have freely turned away from God's friendship will enter hell, which is that sad and lamentable state of eternal death. And for those who find themselves in the condition of being open to God, but still imperfectly, the journey towards full happiness requires purification, which the Church illustrates in the doctrine of purgatory. Now, where does this doctrine come from? Well, at one point in the Gospels, Jesus says that a certain sin will be pardoned neither in this age nor in the age to come. And so these very words imply that certain sins can and will be forgiven in the age to come. Also, in the Old Testament, in the second book of Maccabees, we read that the people took up a collection and they offered prayers on behalf of the deceased. Now, these prayers would have been useless if they could not do anything for the dead. And so the souls in purgatory are assured of eternal salvation, but they need that further purification, because only what is perfect, what has no imperfections, can enter heaven. Now, St. John Paul II said that purgatory is not so much a place, but rather it's a state. It's a state of existence. It's a condition of existence in that state of purification, because every trace of evil must be eliminated, every imperfection of the soul corrected. Now, I think if I died today, I would go to the Lord and say, I recognize my imperfections, and I'm not ready to enter into heaven. I still need a little bit more time for purification, and that's what purgatory is for. But in reality, purgatory is a place of hope, because it's a place of God's love and mercy. It's an anticipation of eternal happiness in heaven. But the purification of purgatory is entirely different from the punishment of hell. We can think of it rather as a cleansing fire, as that burning away of the impurities in the gold. The souls in purgatory are experiencing the mercy of God, the mercy of that divine goldsmith who heals us of all impurities. And so we can truly say, in the words of our first reading, the souls of the just are in the hand of God. Now, from the very beginning, the Church has honored the memory of the dead and offered prayers and masses on their behalf. And since the Mass is the highest and most perfect form of prayer, every Eucharistic prayer within the Mass has a special remembrance of the dead. Listen closely today and you'll hear it. It will go something like this. Grant them, O Lord, we pray, and all who sleep in Christ, a place of refreshment, light, and peace. And even today, the Church commends almsgiving, indulgences, prayers, masses, works of penance offered on behalf of the souls in purgatory. Because of the communion of saints, we can help them out. We can pray for the souls in purgatory. And when they get to that next level, the Church triumphant, when they become saints, they'll no doubt return the favor to us here on earth. And the saints who are already surrounding the throne of God are certainly praying for us. But the doctrine of purgatory has largely been forgotten today. And I think part of that is because that many funerals have become instant canonizations. But really, there's nothing wrong, hopeless, or unchristian about mourning for the dead, about praying for them. Because mourning is a natural, it's a healthy process. Even Christ wept at the death of his friend Lazarus. But we don't mourn for the dead as if that's the end. We believe in the resurrection, which leads us to pray and to sacrifice for our deceased. But we shouldn't presume that the faithful departed immediately enter into heaven, because we need God's mercy. The doctrine of purgatory also reminds us to care for the state of our own soul. We have to be constantly aware of the reality of death and judgment, the reality of purgatory, such that we will strive for greater holiness here and live a life with perfect contrition and penance. And so the somber and somewhat mournful tone of the black vestments can be a powerful reminder, not only to pray for the dead, but also that our own judgment is coming. The souls in purgatory can't help themselves. They now rely on our prayers and on the mercy of God. But we who are still on earth, can change the direction of our lives, can commit to a life of prayer and to a life of conversion here on earth. In the Gospel, Martha gives us the perfect example of how to face the death of a loved one. She remains solicitous for her brother Lazarus, and so she keeps him in the forefront of her thoughts and prayers. But she also firmly believes in the resurrection and in the power of Jesus. Lazarus was dead. He was in the tomb for 4 days. But he was called forth at the command of Jesus, who said, I am the resurrection and the life. And the same is true of those who die in the Lord. Since Christ is the life, he is both living and he's life-giving. And we have great hope in him who conquered death by his own dying. In him, we become heirs to the resurrection. In him, as our first reading said, our hope is full of immortality. Today also marks the beginning of Vocations Awareness Week, and vocations are another sign of great hope. Now, many of you have noticed my picture on the new seminarian poster, which just came out a few weeks ago. We seminarians call those the mugshots. But our diocese is really blessed. God has blessed us in so many ways, and yet he continues to call. He continues to call young men and women from our own families. And so what can we be doing to foster vocations? Well, first, pray. And there's a great new website to help us in that endeavor, arlingtonvocations.org. arlingtonvocations.org. You can print out special prayers and take them to your own daily prayer. Be sure to take a bulletin home this evening which talks more about vocations and also lists all the men and women in our diocese who are studying for the priesthood and the religious life. Encourage religious vocations within your own families. To the young people present this evening, ask God to help you follow your vocation, whatever that may be. Be not afraid, because God may be calling you to serve Him in this particular way as a priest or as a religious brother or sister. God wants us to become that pure gold so that we can enter heaven. Until then, souls undergo a time of purification. And so I leave you with the encouraging thought of St. Paul, which gives me goosebumps every time I read it. In an instant, in the blink of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.